The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. You're going to Camp Blood? You're doomed!
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Roberts, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone. It is 4 a.m. once again. That means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends get together and watch movies from our past to see if they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I am your ghost with the most, as always, Tony. Joined with me today is...
Brian.
Cranklin' Rappers.
I really wanted the peanut butter bar. I tried to do it quietly.
But you all failed. So, you were all warned. They are all doomed. And Friday the 13th, nothing will save them. You'll wish it was only a nightmare. And my favorite from the deluxe edition of the DVD, apparently they added, kill, 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 uncut.
Okay, well,
why not? So we did Friday the 13th from 1980, directed by Sean S. Cunningham, who did a whole bunch of stuff none of you will know, including Here Comes the Tigers, Strangers Watching, The New Kids,
anyone, On the Block,
anyone,
Is it Hanging Tough,
anyone, no,
The Right Stuff,
no,
okay,
none of that. Not the white stuff either.
You recorded a bunch of nude kids?
No, you said? Yes. So, what's your personal history with this movie, Brian?
So I saw this movie, I was little. And I should not have seen this movie.
Nope.
But like, I saw it. And like, I was kind of scared, but like, not really. I pretty much didn't know what was going on. And then I didn't see this again until like, I was like, maybe 20. And I had already seen, you know, the other Jason movies, which, you know, spoiler alert, they're kind of more fun.
kind of more Jason-y.
Yeah, more Jason-y. but I just know like this was what started the whole franchise. So, you know, I got respect for it. So,
all right, Rob.
I've probably seen this. I don't know. I don't remember it. I mean, I remember the ending. I remember, you know, the twist. Whatever.
All right, Joe.
I was always more of a Nightmare on Elm Street guy. I haven't really seen any of the Jason movies all the way through. Like, I've seen the good parts of this one, but this is actually the first time I think I watched it from start to finish.
Okay. I've seen this a couple times before already. Yeah. Cranklin' Rappers, you're making your appearance. That's fine. You've already announced yourself. Just go for it.
He never left.
So, I saw this probably younger than I should have. But whatever. And I growing up was more into Nightmare because Freddy was more fun, and Halloween just because at least the first one was a lot better, I thought. I've seen this a few times, every couple Halloweens or so, pop this in, watch it.
Every right. couple Halloween movies or every couple Halloween seasons?
Seasons.
Okay.
All right. So, brief history on this movie, which might enlighten you to some things you've already suspected, but Sean S. Cunningham apparently came up with the title and placed an ad in the newspaper long before he had a script just to catch some buzz on this movie. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Hustle. Get your hustle on. Do what you gotta do.
Speaking of hustle, Victor Miller wrote the script in about 2 weeks. Filming lasted 28 days,
yep.
And editing lasted 10 weeks.
28 days to film that?
28 days.
That's a long time for this.
I know, right?
Probably like the gore effects probably. Those are all practical.
True.
That's still, for any movie, that's real short.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of rubber necks to wait for them to dry.
The movie was filmed at Camp Nobe Bosco in New Jersey, which is still in operation, and they have a wall with Friday the 13th paraphernalia. Apparently it's a Boy Scout camp, so I don't know what you're going to have on this wall. Like pictures of half-naked women with axes in their head?
No, you have masks and you have, like, you know, knives and shit. Like,
Friday the 13th, part 15. Jason goes for a merit badge.
An old woman's blue sweater.
Yeah. He had a swimming one. Never mind.
No, he didn't earn that badge.
He did not get the
swimming
badge.
He did not get that.
He did get a diving badge. It's the coming up. That's the problem.
His tote and chip card has all the corners cut off.
So also, notoriously, Siskel and Ebert hated this movie and panned it terribly. Siskel saying that Cunningham was one of the most despicable creatures that ever.
Holy shit!
Infest really? The movie business. Yeah,
for this,
Siskel and Ebert are weird.
Yeah, they focus this on a misogynist, a war on women for misogynist movies. And they,
never mind
to the point
the
where
protagonist
they gave,
and antagonist
yeah, they gave
women.
Away the ending as part of their view yeah. is how little they cared. And but the ending is it's a woman. So what?
Yeah, it's the protagonist and antagonist are female. Yeah. But Roger Ebert every once in a while would just say something weird. Like he went to the grave like still believing that video games are not art and will never be. Like he had just some weird prejudices.
Hmm. Was he the one who made that shitty movie?
Oh yeah, what's
Welcome
it?
To the Dollhouse.
Or was it Land of the Dolls or something?
One of them made a shitty movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't matter.
Yeah, it's not about dolls.
We say weird shit too here, so.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we got ridiculous opinions about nonsense here. Yeah. I'm not.
I don't know if anyone's depending on us though right. for our opinions.
That's the weird shit though. Like when they were big, whatever.
Yeah.
Like what they said made or broke like movies. Like for real. That's weird as fuck.
Millions of dollars was in the balance.
Yeah. Well, like, that's weird as fuck.
It did and it didn't. Sometimes. That's the same way a lot of people complain now because Rotten Tomatoes is doing the same thing. But the fact of the matter is, like, if you're on the fence and you're checking out Rotten Tomatoes to figure it out, chances are it's not going to help the movie that much. Mm. You know, you're not going to have a ton of people that are suddenly going to this movie or running away from it based on a Rotten Tomato score that would have gone.
It will. It has swayed my opinion, though, on some where I was like, that seems like a cool concept. And I'm like, oh, that's like a 25%.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, anyone checking that out is already on the fence. So your chances are not great.
But
so
like the medium has changed now. Because because when they were the thing, like the internet didn't exist. You couldn't do research on a movie yourself.
Oh,
you couldn't
yeah.
go look for stuff. Like, you just had what the critics said. That's all you had.
But
and you had a poster.
At the same, it was Beyond the Valley of the Dolls was Beyond his movie. But at least when he was saying crazy stuff, like, he was in front of a camera, like, saying it, and he had to, like, back it up.
Yeah.
So you're saying we're pussies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong. But, yeah.
So, like, I mean, now with the internet, like, everybody's just got their opinion, and everybody else is
any
wrong.
Any four jackoss could just get a podcast
exactly.
and talk
yeah.
shit about anything.
Yeah. Talk That's nonsense fair. And drink beers. But, you know, he had his opinions, right or wrong. Yeah. I mean, obviously, Friday the 13th survived without him.
Yeah. It actually helped the movie in this case. Because all his, you know, shit talk about how gruesome it is and bloody and whatever talked it up a good game. I know,
Well, I mean, but the thing is, well, like, we're on this side of the fence looking back.
True,
you know?
Very true. Very
so
true.
Who knows, like, what it was. When did this movie come out?
1980.
We're, like, just out of the 70s.
So, like, these blood effects in 1980 were, like, holy crap.
Still
like,
kind of bad. But.
Well, but this is...
Tom Savini.
Yeah, but this is before Cronenberg came along. So, yeah. like, this is when... Like, this shit was as scary as it got.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it put Tom Savini on the map.
Well, anyone want to guess at the budget this movie had to make it?
Yo, I'm saying, like, 200 grand.
I'm going to say 150 grand.
$550,000. Yeah, I looked, yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Half a mil?
That would have been amazing if you hadn't.
I think it's just enough, like, it's low budget enough where someone could have, like, taking out loans and like, or you know, borrow money from some like just enough, like just low enough for that, but like not so much that they had to get a real backer for it. You know,
rented a camp in an off season.
Yeah,
apparently Cunningham, like, you know, was putting stuff. Well, when he put that article in the newspaper with the title, somebody did contact him, and he didn't want to do it because of some weird rights issue. But like, he later agreed because they were willing to finance the whole thing.
Oh wow!
So. Somebody got a big windfall from this. So speaking of, how much did this movie make?
1980. I'm going to say $5 million.
Oh, man. I was going to say four, so I will. Four.
This I actually don't know. I saw the how much it cost by accident. I'm going to guess $2
million. $39
million. Wow. Holy shit. That's quite the return.
Yeah.
Hell's a yes. This is why there's like 1,200 sequels. But this was big.
I mean,
there's
$39 million? It's like 70.
And 700 wow, something yeah. thousand.
That is quite a return on your investment.
Yeah.
And 22 cents.
It's a lot of money.
1980. Yes, that's.
So, who was in this movie, Joe? Where'd this money go?
All right. So, you got Betsy Palmer's in it for all like 10 minutes as Miss Voorhees. Adrian King is Alice. Jeannie Taylor is Marcy. Robbie Morgan is Annie. Kevin Bacon is Jack. Harry Crosby is Bill. Laurie Bartram as Brenda, Mark Nelson as Ned, and Peter Brower as Steve Christie, who always has to have his last name thrown in there. He's never just Steve. Yeah. Steve Holt!
Hey, Camp, Steve!
It's Camp Christie Lake.
Christie. All right, so let's just get on into this. Mm. Oh, quick side note, I do like that apparently it was an issue where people felt... Obviously, this movie was inspired by Halloween. No surprise there.
Mm.
But some people thought they were pushing it a little too far because since they had Jamie Lee Curtis,
mm-hmm.
Tony Curtis's daughter, this had was it Henry Crosby, who is Bing Crosby's kid, I believe.
Mm. Okay.
So they were like, "Why you got to why you got to do everything they did?" Some people
Halloween came out first. Word. Okay.
Yeah.
Halloween was like 78.
I wasn't alive, so I don't know.
I should probably point out also for this review that Brian, Tony, and Rob watched this together as a group about an hour ago.
Yeah.
And I watched it separately.
At 3 a.m.
Yeah. I watched it separately in a dark room by myself late at night. So it's probably going to affect the reviews.
I hope you have some insight into what that's like.
Okay. I hope you had the time of your life.
Mm. All right. So we start out. We're at this camp. It's 1979, I think.
58.
Is 58?
79 is when the majority of the movie takes place.
Right. Oh, Jesus. Okay. I kind of got screwed up because I do believe they say present day, which is like not at all present day now. So, yeah, 58. There's this couple, they're singing some nice gospel songs while shooting some fuck eyes at each other.
Camp shitty sing-along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're like, the girl's like, you want this? He's like, I'm going to take it.
Yeah. Michael rode this boat ashore. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like how camp songs are gospel hymns in your mind.
Is that just, I thought that was, isn't that like some kind of religious thing?
Well, singing camp songs?
No, the songs that they're singing.
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Michael rode the boat ashore or whatever. Maybe it's just because it says hallelujah a lot. I don't know. I don't go to church. All right. So
you don't go to school, apparently.
You need Jesus.
Yeah.
Probably. Anyway, they decide that they're going to, find some little place to be alone. They're like hanging out in some weird barn. They got some gross rag that they're lying on.
Yeah. She knew right where it was too. Like she had planned that. Like, yeah. This is my spot.
She took it from under the car earlier. Yeah. Catch the oil drips.
But they suddenly are interrupted by the cameraman.
The cameraman, he's like lurking through the bunkhouse first. Yeah. And then he comes in here, cock blocks.
Actually, a fun side note, the first guy to get killed is one of the cameramen from the crew.
Mm.
But anyway.
Remind me to touch back on the scene when we hit the end for our reviews. Remind me. All right.
I'll have a lot to say. So this guy gets stabbed. And then the girl is screaming. She's crying for her life. And we just kind of freeze frame on her and start closing in on her face. Which kind of reminded me of Sleepaway Camp, which is not where you
want to
be.
You never want to be reminded about that.
But that image is burned in my brain.
I never saw that.
We'll get there.
Let's not ruin it for him, Joe.
Yeah.
We don't have time for that. Friday 13th logo jump scare.
Oh, God. Yeah, it comes smashing through the TV.
I thought the TV
right
broke.
Through your television.
Yeah. That was a jump scare.
It just flies out of control, I should say.
Yeah, just kind of like, it's coming at you. Wow.
This came out in theaters. Like, were theaters ever glass? Like, was there ever a time where that
I don't think so.
I don't know if they planned on it, like, being in theaters for very long.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know where we were at that time, but at one point people were...
I wasn't alive.
Yeah. Well, at one point people were afraid of a train that was coming at the screen. Like, honestly, so who knows?
When I saw this, all I could think of was, and this may go over the heads of many of our associates in this room and the audience, all I could think of was the Muppet ride at Disney. Where it's like a whole big 3D like show they're putting on.
Uh-huh.
And it's like... Fozzie or somebody just has this like thing on a stick that he keeps poking in the camera. It's like, 3D.
So really any 3D thing ever, yeah, basically. Pretty much.
I don't know if I've ever been on that one.
Well, you should. It's fantastic.
Is it new?
I don't think it's still there.
It's been around forever. Yeah, it's still there.
Okay. But yeah, like I
Magic Kingdom or
Hollywood's or Disney Studios.
Yeah.
I didn't go on that. That's right. I did see that. But we ate in the area, but we didn't go any rides in the area.
Yeah, because it's like right by the pizza place, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
This is now a Disney Planet podcast.
Pizza. Sorry.
Yeah, I believe it was Planet Pizza. Sure. But yeah, I was kind of thinking more along the lines of, I believe it was, I don't think it was TGI Friday, but one of those with like the Drew Carey show where they had everything was in 3D. So they're just at random points. They'd be like, oh, now I'm going to play with this. You know, what it was, the paddle ball or whatever. And
oh,
just
you're thinking of an episode of Arrested Development.
No. Well, that mocked it, but
I'm going to start watching that again.
It's the same. Yeah, it's the same bit.
But stop it. Season 3. Do yourself a favor.
I liked the last season. It was different, but I liked it. Anyway, back to this. Keep moving.
Now we meet
Shirazi's melting face.
Yeah. Now we meet
look like Jason Voorhees.
Please,
sorry, Joe. What were you saying?
Well, now we meet Annie.
Yep.
Yes.
And Annie's just like the happiest thing ever. She's just walking down the street on her way to Crystal Lake, walking through the woods,
just hitchhiking.
Yeah, just walking happy. All over the place, talking to dogs.
How the world has changed. She gets in the car with multiple strangers.
Yep.
Yeah, she does.
Like,
well, we also see why the world has changed.
Guy's all like, "You're doomed," and she's just like, "Oh, what a precocious old man!"
Yeah. Aww. Now grab my ass as I get in the truck of your car.
Yeah, like legit. When Annie asks for a ride from this oil truck driver, mm-hmm. he helps her into the car. He literally grabs her by her butt cheeks.
Yeah.
Like firmly on both butt cheeks.
Yeah.
And just pushes her like bah. Yeah, and I'm like, he just groped her like
making sure she's correctly seated.
Yeah.
And it's after he was like, are they all as pretty as you up at the like just so creepy. Like,
he's the 70s, Brian.
I guess.
He's giving her a ride. It's the least she can do.
Wait for the rules of the road.
Did you want to do your views and opinions speech now? Get it out of the way early.
The views and opinions expressed by Margarita Rob are his, not the whole podcast. Margarita. I guess tonight it's Spot and Rob.
This is not even touching me.
Yeah, I was going to say. Never mind.
I was going to hold it. That was too easy.
Yeah.
Too easy.
All right, so
why do you let him go with that?
Yeah, it's the guy they just refer to as Crazy Ralph, this creepy old man. He's just like you're doomed. You're all doomed.
Doomed.
You're all gonna die. You're all doomed.
This guy's neck has like, yeah,
he's weirdly unnatural looking.
So like the Cardassians in Star Trek, right? I know I lost some of you, but some of you know what I'm talking about. They have these weird neck ridges that run like mm-hmm. run down. He has this like naturally on himself. Yeah. Like so weird looking. I sure as fuck did. Cardassians. The Cardassians. Yes. They're in Star Trek Next Generation as well. Like,
so this redneck dude.
But so he says you're doomed and he gets on his little peewee bike and he rides away.
He rides us. It's like the bling bling. Yes.
they'll let Crazy Ralph have a license.
Well, yeah, I think after his like 12th DUI, it's just we're like, nope, we're biking from now on.
Yeah,
in some states you can get a DUI on a bike.
I know it was easier to get by on a low-paying job, but crazy person does not pay you enough to have a car.
No, I tried.
Yeah. So Anyway, yeah, this redneck, he tells Annie that the camp's jinxed, you know, the kid drowned there, two counselors were murdered, the water is always tested, weird.
Quick side note. So, first thing that happened is this kid drowns. Yeah. After that, these kids die. After that, there's a bunch of fires. Mm. And then I guess she just got lazy. It's just like the water was weird one day. Like,
turns out the water was caught masturbating in the public pool. Oh, yeah. Had to send it back. It was bad. It was bad water.
Like, we're going to open the camp, but somebody's been shitting in the lake all week. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, little Jason.
Yeah, well.
Why does the water always taste like death?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Death and iced tea.
Meanwhile, we cut ahead to Kevin Bacon's on the scene.
Yeah, he is. And he's shirtless.
Yep. He's got Marcy with him. He's got, what's the other guy? Ned with him.
Yeah, again, this is the beginning of Ned's just like, I'm going to get lucky today. You're going to, you know, give me a little sugar, right? And she's like, hanging off Kevin Bacon.
I'm a step away from dry humping Kevin Bacon. Why do you think this is going
to
happen?
Yeah. At one point, they cut away and we just hear some noises, and I think she started to.
Yeah.
No, she was massaging his shoulders.
Sure. His shoulders.
If that ride went on for longer, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, what was that?
We show up to camp, and there's like a guy.
Meet your first axe murderer.
Yeah. He has some jean shorts that are cut off at his upper thigh.
You have to remind yourself that like it's 1979. Yeah. This happens.
Yeah, it's not Reno 911. Yeah.
He has like a kerchief on but no shirt.
Because he's wearing an outfit that Lieutenant Dangle would question before he put on.
Chop a wood.
Napoleon Dynamite all growed up.
Yeah. He is just a grown up of Napoleon Dynamite. Well, yeah,
I was thinking more his brother there, but either way.
No, he's a G.
Because I think the stash. No, that's the stash Ralph. Is what did it.
Yeah, that's Ralph.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so yeah, these counselors.
Steve Christie.
Quick side note for men out there everywhere. Cut off shorts where you can see like the bottom of the pocket poking out of the bottom. Never a good idea.
Where would you want? No one cares. Where would you want? Hey. Do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
No, you can do whatever you want. I'm just telling you it's not a good idea.
If you think it's a good idea, it's a good idea. Where would you want? You do you.
Yeah. By the way, Tony, that was not his pocket.
you all saw the clip of that marathon runner whose dick was hanging out.
No.
Apparently this guy won a race. I was in France like that. Mm. Like the last leg of the race, his just dick was out.
You don't got time to adjust. Yeah, I can't throw off his stride. Like,
I had a photo finish and he won by a dick.
Yeah, but
that decided the race.
But wait, wouldn't that add wind resistance?
I don't know. Add some drag, maybe. I don't know.
I'm sure you would notice when it's bouncing off your thigh.
I don't got time to fix this.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it encouraged him on because he's like, God damn it, I got to get this over with now.
I only
got so long before this just shreds my shorts off.
Maybe that was the plan. Like, whether I win this or not, I'm going to show who's boss.
Oh, man.
Like, was it? All right. I'm not trying to.
I didn't study it, Rob. I saw the article and I was like, oh, man.
Was he aroused? No. I just mean, like, how did it come out?
You can watch it later, like the Zapruder film, and go minute by minute.
It later. I just mean, like, did he have, like, a little flap?
You know how
that
it came out? Came out back. And
did it
just,
like,
left.
Did his pants fall down to the point it was?
No, they rolled up.
Yeah. Because the shorts
were
so
they came
short.
Out the bottom of his shorts? Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
There's not really much for legs on them.
You're going to damage something that way, man. Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
All right.
He's got a blood sausage now.
So now
we meet Alice.
Right. So Prince Adam shows up and the camp counselor guy, Napoleon, what are we going to call him that?
Steve Christie.
Steve Christie, sure, if you want to be technical about it, starts hitting on him. And
I know Alice shows up, but she happens to have like a blowout, kind of like Prince Adam does. Hope you crap your pants.
She's an adorable girl. I just the haircut, but whatever.
It's the 70s.
Yeah, it's the 70s. You got to keep reminding yourself that.
I mean,
Three's Company fit right in.
Yeah,
I understand. It doesn't make it okay.
It's just fine.
Whatever.
I guess.
Anyway, the point is, this guy is like,
making weird moves on her for some reason.
Yo, this dude's moves
becomes really moves
less and less subtle as the time goes on.
So like she's fixing a gutter, and he somehow got her sketchbook. He's looking at it. He's like staring at her, stares at it. Goes, these are good. No, I mean real good.
Now, to be fair,
you're so pretty.
To be fair, from high school to like my mid 20s. That's how I used to get all the ladies. I would leave a sketchbook out. Just as bait.
He's like, you drew these? Wow.
I'm picturing.
And you're real pretty.
Roadrunner cartoon sort of scenario where the girl's just flipping through pages on a book on the ground and Rob's like positioned himself in an Acme slingshot. It always just ends with her moving and he slams in a locker or something.
Gotcha, bitch!
Gets fired out a window.
But, yeah. Against a wall.
He's like, these are some great drawings and you're so pretty. Thanks for the help with the gutter. Now, can you help me move this couch? I've got a broken arm.
Draw me like one of your French boys.
No, he's just so like, sorry. He like touches her face and touched the side of her face with his hand and she's just like, what? It's just so awkward.
I see her fixing my gutter.
He's like, stay until Friday. You know, if you don't want to stay until Friday, I'll bring you home myself. Touches her face like,
ugh. You gotta at least stay past Wednesday.
But then he's like,
Wednesday is.
I'm out. And he's gone for most of the movie.
I'll give you a choice. You either be trapped in the camp here with me or you be trapped in a car with me as I take you home.
Pretty much. Well, that's her options.
He's clearly some kind of creeper, pedophile, whatever's going on there.
Really? Clearly? I don't know.
He's clearly a creeper.
Yeah.
He's a creeper. Yeah.
No question that.
Like, he's using today's standards to look at 70 standards.
By today's standards.
I guess.
Whatever.
By today's standards, everyone sitting at this table is a creeper.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's true.
Like, my point being, though, as if he's not already, like, he's probably better off not being around, but... what's happening throughout this movie is like, okay, now I've gathered a bunch of like 19-year-old kids to help take care of this camp.
Yep.
I'm just going to leave for like.
Yeah, he's also a shitty boss.
Yeah. He's like, I'll see you guys later.
Well, didn't he go to get supplies?
Yeah.
Like, there's no orientation or anything. They show up. He's like, let's take the stump out. Yeah. He's like, you do this, you do that.
It's the 70s. There's only five things you can do.
I guess.
Well, yeah, but guess what they end up doing?
The fifth thing.
Well, yeah. Smoking pot and having sex.
Yeah. Smoking grass.
Grass. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Come on, Tony. Get with the times. What are you, square?
Yeah, no, I'm down with those jazz cigarettes.
Wow. So, and he just gets in a car with another stranger.
Yeah.
With a Jeep that looks very similar to Steve Christie's.
It's the same Jeep.
It's the same exact one. They just put a soft top on it.
Yeah, it did throw me off at first because I was just like, that's her boss.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, that's her boss, right? Yeah. Like when
it's the same license plate.
Yeah. Like, I know it's that shit.
They weren't buying a new car. Yeah. They were renting a new car for this. They,
they only had so many cars. Yeah.
That's why they put a trailer hitch on his later on to say, oh, no, it's different. See, this one has a trailer to it.
It's towing stuff. Yeah.
I'm guessing that's more to try and disguise the license plate.
Oh, that's what I'm saying, like, to make this is different.
Yeah. So anyway, you never get to see the person driving the Jeep.
No.
But they pass the road for Camp Crystal Lake. They won't stop. They won't.
She's like, hey, that's the road's back there. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on?
Music's getting more intense.
Which, no, we shouldn't, you know, fuck it. It's an old movie. Everyone knows the ending, right? So I'm going to spoil this.
We gave a spoiler warning at the beginning of every episode.
Yes. Yeah. So, okay. As we turn out, it is Mrs. Voorhees doing all this because her son Jason drowned in the lake while these counselors.
You don't have to go all into it. Like.
Well, I know, gosh.
No, I do.
Leave a little to the imagination.
Yeah, and part of the reason I'm saying all this is because, like, this is our first kill of the new group or whatever. And this poor girl is going on and on about like how much she wants to help children and how much she loves them and everything. So it's like, oh, well, you've got to die. Like,
crazy.
What is the motivation here?
She's already nutso. Yeah, she's already nutso.
It's just like her motivations are flawed because she's insane.
Yes.
Here's her little sped baby selling her to kill everybody.
She's already nutso.
Yeah. Because every time she kills one of them, you know, she feels a little bit more closure.
I'm just getting started.
So are there Doritos in there?
What, are you going to throw that at me? Okay. All
right.
I was so, going to get one anyway.
And,
I'm going to wait.
Okay. There's brownies in there?
Oh, Tony's going to wait till I say something awful and then throw a cupcake at me?
He'll forget by the time.
His arm will get tired.
He'll eat that.
That's what I'm counting on.
Oh, cupcake. Hey, are you... All right, so where were we? Oh, okay, so Alice? So,
Annie jumps from a moving vehicle.
Yeah. Yes. It was going fucking fast, too. Like,
Yeah, it was.
It's the 70s. You did that.
That's, I guess.
Well, she sped up because she kept asking her to slow down.
Stop. Like, you're going the wrong way. Please stop. So
if you see your victim starts going for that door handle, you speed up. Mm-hmm. Are you?
So she's trying to shakily get away. But we see a POV shot, someone chasing after her, and
oh yeah, okay.
Ultimately, she's just stabbed. I believe was it? I forget.
Cuts her throat.
Right?
Yeah, it was a good practical effect because like her throat kind of split open a little bit and blood came out. And stuff,
I mean, you can tell like where the makeup begins, right, and where her head ends. But like, imagine though in 1980, that'd blow your friggin' mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
We were talking about the effects.
Yeah.
Some better than others. We'll get there.
I mean, they could have added a little more color. That's all I'm saying. It was
I think for this one, it worked. She was fairly pale. It all worked out.
Look, 500 grand, a good chunk of that was just in equipment and renting the area.
Mm-hmm.
So, but nah, I appreciate the split neck.
So anyway, back at the camp. They're just kind of doing things. They're having counselor shenanigans.
So this movie, like, it has a weird... Well, at first you would think pacing issues because you're like, we're spending forever on everything.
It is weird.
And it's only a 90-minute movie. But the suspense... Like, we can't describe the suspense that this is generating. And I don't know how you guys felt watching it, but while I was watching it, I'm like...
Not the same. I can
everything
tell you right
that's
now.
Happening has a tinge of creepiness to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
I kept a timer.
Yep.
A death timer as we were going.
Like, even before that, like, even when, what's the girl's name that just died?
Annie.
Even when she was in the car with, like, the truck driver,
mm-hmm.
just the weird silence between their lines mm-hmm. was just like, is this intentional? Is this trying to, like, creep us out?
Well, yeah. And that's one thing I never really noticed with the movie. Was the whole audio part of it. Because you notice music only shows up when the killer's present.
Yeah.
Yep. And like that adds a whole nother level of suspense to it too. So like even in this part when they're just going around the camp, like putting up archery targets and fucking about, like it's still, I don't know. I felt a lingering suspense.
No, I agree. But when we first see Annie in the movie, it's quiet. Like, she's walking down the street and there's no music. I'm like, there's no music. It's weird. But I'm like, is it weird? Nah, I think it works because the music.
I think there was a radio playing, right?
Well, when she goes to the first building, there's radio playing. But that, like, sounds only come from within until the killer's in the scene. Then there's music for suspense.
And that's why at the end of the movie, it's like constant music.
Constant the whole time. I kept a death timer because we watched Leprechaun last week. Leprechaun felt... There was too much time between the first death and the next death, and it bothered me. So I'm like, this week I'm a watch, and like every time I felt someone should die, someone died.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it was
even, it really was right on cue.
It was literally right on cue. Every time I felt,
like
I said,
once every 7 minutes.
No, it was 15 minutes to start, 15 minutes, 12 minutes, 10 minutes, 7 minutes, 6 minutes. Like it like literally, like someone else should die now. Boom, they're dead. Like it held true the whole movie. So even though like some boring shit's happening, I'm like, someone should die right now. They're dead. it worked out.
I think the problem wasn't even so much of the, like, some boring shit happened or whatever. It's that a lot of the deaths weren't on camera, which took away from some stuff. But,
I thought, though, when they were on camera, they did it for me.
Oh, yeah, they were fine. I think you would have had more to go on for the slower parts if you saw more of the deaths on screen.
Yeah.
I was happy with, like, every time I felt like someone should die, died. Like, that made me, like, real happy while watching the movie. Like yes, I am.
Yeah, the one...
Especially, I think, since we were all like, Ned should go next, and then Ned was the next to go.
You know, let's just talk about Ned.
Ned sucked.
He sucks.
Yeah. Okay, so this is when he pretends to drown.
Yeah.
And they pull him out of the water. And I don't even, I couldn't tell the women apart at this point, but I think that was Marcy giving him mouth to mouth.
Yes.
And yeah, and then he does the old Sandlot move. I guess Sandlot got it from this movie, yeah. But the old pretend to drown to do mouth to mouth.
That's what Sandlot was missing. Missing a Jason Voorhees in the water.
Just do it at the end, so that's what the kid's running from instead of the dog.
There you go.
Jason. Guys, PK Flyers.
Yeah. Was it Specs? Was it the kid with the glasses?
Yeah, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like Jason.
A little bit, if you think about it. Yeah, yeah. A little bit, he does.
Wow, guys.
Oh, sorry.
Wow.
All right.
throw that at yourself, sir.
Yeah. Okay, this scene, this is when I was like, yeah, these people gotta go. The snake scene.
Yo, did they kill a real snake?
They killed a real fucking snake. Yeah. They just straight up murdered a snake.
Well,
apparently, I didn't hear it, but from what I read, you could hear the snake's owner cry. They killed it.
Really?
Yeah.
I believe so. Like, I didn't hear you could hear it, but yeah. I did hear that the owner was, just inside crying.
Well, how did that happen then?
That's why the budget was so high, because they had to pay. He sued for a snake. That was $200,000 for a snake.
I did read. We said it was $550,000.
Yeah.
I did read that they had an original budget of $500,000.
Uh huh.
So maybe the other $50,000
if we could kill your pet.
But yeah, apparently a lot of the crew was actually sleeping at the campsite, and they had an incident with a snake in one of the bunks or whatever. So they got this idea, like, to, you know, kind of show them working as a team and whatever, what they're capable of or whatever, by throwing that in there. I don't know why it meant they had to kill a real snake.
Capable of anything.
Yeah.
It showed most of them suck, but
there's a few scenes in this movie that are unnecessary. This is one of them. There's no need for the scene at all.
You know what it did for me? It removed the sympathy for these people.
Okay.
Because I'm like, at this point, I'm like, fuck them. Now, don't get me wrong. I do not handle snakes well.
At all.
I don't like being around them. But I would still, like, if one was in my bunk, that's not my first reaction. It's not machete time.
Yeah.
Like, I'll figure something out to get them out of there.
Figure out if it's poisonous or not. And if it's not, you just, like, grab it and throw it out.
Yeah.
Well, I just move. Just
move right. Well, but you don't even go to camp because scenarios like this can happen.
That's true.
Well, I story time with Brian. I was dating this girl, my girlfriend at the time. She lived in California when I'm out there with her. And literally, like, I come into the house, and she goes, "Brian, the snake in my bedroom." I'm like, "So let's just leave."
We'll never come back.
She's like, "I can't leave.
The snake in my place." You didn't say there's about to be two.
I mean, never mind. But like, so I did my best attempt to find it in her bedroom, and I could not. So I went, I got a hotel.
So there was a loose snake in her bedroom.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yes. Yes.
What? I thought she just meant like I have a pet snake in my bedroom.
No.
Don't be freaked out.
That happens regularly in her place.
Okay.
So I was like, I got a hotel. Yeah. We can just stay there at night.
If there's a snake in there, I just don't pay him for it.
But you know what? I bet you never thought it's not machete time.
No, never.
Yeah, when I find a snake, I'm not gonna murder the thing.
Sadly, I do remember one of the times we were in Florida. I had a thought kind of along those lines because someone was talking about the hotel we were staying at. There were a bunch of little lizards around,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, well, as long as we keep seeing little lizards, that means whatever eats them isn't around, I'm good. Those little lizards aren't going to hurt me. Huh?
Does anything eat them over there? They just run rampant, those little animal things.
I'm sure the lizards? Something.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of things eat them.
Yeah, they're alligators, just... snakes, well, yeah, whatever. Maybe, like, bigger things will eat them. Bigger things are a problem to me. Little lizards are not. That was my point.
All right. So,
anyway.
This is when the cop shows up. This is Dorf.
Wish it was Dorf.
Officer. It was Officer Dorf.
It was Officer Dorf.
Yeah,
really? But, yeah.
Officer Smarms.
Yeah.
Yes. Smoking the wacky tobacco.
Everyone who's not one of the camp counselors is an immediate weirdo in this movie.
So weird.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Like, I don't know. Is this dude just somebody that the director owed a favor to? Like,
I feel like most of the cast is like that. Like,
why was he here?
I think they just called the cops and he showed up to investigate.
Maybe. It was so unimportant, unessential. Like, he never shows up again.
Yeah. Then fucking Ned runs out in his underwear with an Indian headdress on. Just being a jerk.
Just being an asshole, dick. Man. That sucks.
God.
Yeah. See, again, this is where I have some sympathy. I say what you will, but Ned clearly has ADD. He's trying to be funny, but he's totally not. He's trying to impress a girl, but he's totally not. I totally get it, all right? I'm just saying I can sympathize a little. Mm. So leave it at that.
Yeah, okay. But you weren't sad when he died.
No.
Okay. There you go. Like, you can sympathize if you want, but, dude, if he's like, over 18, he needs to handle the shit, because after that, it's on you.
All right, never mind.
So...
Well, the officer did have one piece of information that is somewhat relevant to what's happening, which is that Ralph is out and about and drunk and crazy, and they need to look out for him.
But every 20 seconds, he's getting interrupted by Ned doing something stupid.
Yeah, Ned sucks.
And the officer's just like, cool it, Cochise.
Yeah, so I don't really get what they're trying to do here. Like, it's almost like they're trying to misdirect that Ralph is the killer, but we already know that he's not, because, like, we already saw him talk to... What's her face at the
Because
in the town
we would know that Annie would not have gotten in the car with him. Right. Well, actually, Annie Stu, she would have gotten in the car with anybody. But
yeah, but like she would have spoken to him differently.
Yeah, I think her guard would have been
like,
up.
It's not like he was a strong silent type. He was talking the whole time, making noise. So we know it's not him.
Yeah, you could argue that they could have gone with the twist that like he had a different personality and like maybe he would have snapped and suddenly got in a car. I don't know.
I guess.
But the kids don't know it wasn't him.
Yeah. So.
Well, I think it more lowers their guard, because now when weird shit happens, they're like, oh, Ralph's out there being dumb.
Yeah.
Like, so they're like they're less inclined to think it's some weird killer versus just Ralph being weird.
So the real question is, was Ralph just a crazy drunk, or was he actually sent there by God?
No, he's a crazy drunk.
But Ralph was right.
Because he was right. That's why I'm...
I bet he believed he was sent there by God.
Oh, obviously he did. But, like, that's the thing. He's like, I'm here to warn you. You need to leave now or you're all going to die. And he was totally right.
Either way, Dorf's like, we ain't going to stand for no weirdness out here. Ah, Chief's calling. Got to go.
Just drives off into the lake.
Yeah. So...
It sort of Birdemic style, you get the full, like, watch him turn around and drive up the road.
I'm glad we didn't have to see him do, like, a full K-turn or something, but yeah. I totally thought he was going to drive into the lake for a moment there. But anyway, they now know Ralph's out and about, but they got things to do, so we're doing more counselor-y stuff.
All right, here's Ralph's deal.
We're starting to cook.
Yeah, they go to cook, and Ralph's in the pantry. I think he just wanted their Pop-Tarts.
Jesse.
And then they caught him.
We gotta cook.
Yeah, they caught Ralph, so now he's just like, all right, I'm a weirdo. I'll be weird. They'll just let me go, because they don't want to deal with me.
You're doomed.
Dude, what was he hiding in a can of beans or something like that? How did he get in there?
How long was he there for?
It's
like, they should just have, like, a director's cut of this movie where it's just 45 minutes of this idiot standing in the closet just staring, just like...
Eating a can of beans, going, doomed.
Doomed. I'm gonna tell, they're gonna be so doomed. I'm gonna tell them they're doomed.
It'd be great if, like, 2 hours into this, or whatever, you know, just before the end, like, that's when they finally go into this cupboard or whatever you want to call it, and he's just sitting there. Oh, hey, how's it going?
Now we get the classic, like, low budget movie lighting issues as night falls. Kevin Bacon fires up the generator.
Yeah.
And then it's still, like, daylight out. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that's why he's a red herring for this movie. Mm-hmm. You're going to think he might be the killer because you're going to think it's a Scooby-Doo-esque scenario. And he's been living in this pantry for a while and he's trying to scare everyone away so he can keep the land to himself.
Mm. And he would have gotten away with it if it wasn't a few meddling kids.
Yeah. Except he kills them all.
Yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and your crazy dog that Annie talked to in the beginning of the movie,
and doesn't show up again.
Yeah.
It's thin, but I like it.
Yeah. So, like, you get a shot of a beaver on the prowl. You get a shot of Kevin Bacon on the prowl.
If you know what I mean.
And Ned's just doing his thing, being like, "I still got a chance. Meanwhile, she's telling Kevin Bacon about what's Kevin Bacon? He's a Jack.
Indian bit and pretending to drown didn't do it, this fake vomit that I have in my back pocket definitely gonna win her. She's making out with Kevin Bacon.
Well, she's done that before. That's all right. I still got a chance. So, Marcy's telling Jack about her dream about it's raining blood. She's been listening to too much Slayer.
It's raining blood.
I'm working. And then, they're like, let's just go somewhere and screw.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, he sees somebody and he's like, can I help you? And just goes off into a cabin.
Yeah, who's that person in the cabin that's not one of us? Let me go see who this is. Doop-de-doop-de-doop-de-do.
Maybe it's a pretty lady. Mm-hmm. Let me go follow it. Boop-boop-boop-boop.
Well, see, he was like, this is a getting killed competition. He was like, first.
Hey, you in there, you want to see my racist Native American stereotype?
Want to see my insides?
The girl likes making out with another dude. If you're going to kill me, this is the time to do it. Let me go. Yep.
So,
is that you, Death?
Yeah, so now it's just Brenda, Bill, and Alice. And stuff's getting pretty desperate. They're like, let's play some strip Monopoly.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I've played my fair share of strip themed games, but like,
have you now?
It's never gotten to Monopoly. Yeah, it's always at least involved a deck of cards.
I think we need to back up a little bit here. So
you don't understand what's supposed to happen.
Do you want to go down this road? Yeah,
so Brick?
No, Brick was never there.
No,
Brick's never there. Never.
I was never there either.
Yeah, but. No. I wouldn't do that around you guys. Yeah. That's not, not the environment for that.
So you guys don't want to play strip, win, lose, or draw?
I know we all lose. We all lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
So you wait till it's strictly you and several other female?
Well, preferably you want the
ratio to be
the girl ratio.
Oh, well, yeah.
To be in your favor.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
Depends unless you don't.
Depends who's around. Depends how I'm feeling. Depends who's, Well, this was, mind you, this was in my college days before everyone had a camera and shit like that.
All right, but
so you guys have never played like a strip anything?
I declined to comment.
Okay.
I played the fifth. Monopoly is a terrible idea because that's going to be like 8 hours wasted just to see a girl in a bra. And
yeah, you're gonna standing be pissed there off by the time you see her naked. You're
just a sock and like crying in a corner.
Yeah.
It's, I guess, doing it for them.
Speaking of doing it, though.
Kevin Bacon, they were actually fucking, right?
I don't think they were. That was a softcore porno.
Because, that scene lasted way too long. Like, way too long.
Right. And Kevin Bacon wouldn't last that long.
Wow.
Footloose.
I know from experience.
No, like.
Wait, what?
Because, so, you set the scene.
Remember when Rob was like, I declined to answer?
Okay.
I said.
Like, you set the scene, like, all right. Yeah. They're fucking, like, see them happening.
Yeah.
And, like, the camera just stays there.
Yeah.
So, and then it changes angles.
Well, the thing
and
is...
And stays there. And
the
then changes
angles
again.
They have to have the scene at least as long as the Happy Birthday song.
It was about that long and awkward.
Which, if you listen really closely, you can hear it from out of the bed.
Mind you, like, this is not shot from a flattering angle. Like, the foreplay stuff was kind of, but like the actual act of it, it's just
like side on.
It's like a Kevin Bacon blur, and you see like her face, like.
I feel like she was waiting for them to say like cut.
Yeah,
this is like, can I stop now?
Squeaking.
Do I look like I'm in ecstasy enough? Because this shoulder is getting in my chin. And it's uncomfortable.
Meanwhile, at this point, you notice that Ned is on the top bunk and is dead.
Yep, yeah. Dead and bleeding.
And they did not notice that. Now, granted, I mean, they had other things on their mind.
Yeah. Corpse, and it was though, dark. They had to use a candle.
You know what? That's true.
Yeah, they'd use a candle.
Yep.
Like, for camera lighting reasons, we couldn't tell that, but like, he lit a candle
this
before
was,
it started.
You know, early 80s movie lighting issues. Because, the room looks like it's really well lit, but it's not.
Missed opportunity in my book. Well, this we just had to sit through a scene of this chick talking about her dream.
Yeah.
Where blood's
raining down. Yeah.
This dude is on the bunk above her, and she doesn't get the blood raining down.
Well, he gets a drop right at the end.
Kevin Bacon does. She's out of the room at this point.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. for that matter, this they seem to be doing that intentionally, I almost think.
They should have reversed it. Kevin Bacon should have gone to the bathroom because, you know how guys is. You got to clear it out. And she's laying there and suddenly it starts like raining blood on her instead of just dripping.
There's a couple things like
corn syrup's not that expensive.
No,
true.
My point being is I had a similar thought about earlier when Ned fires the arrow and she makes some comment about, oh, you're going to have me pinned to the, thing or whatever. And like, it doesn't happen to either one of them, even though she dies at the archery range. Mm. So like, I think they're intentionally being like, this is where we're going to go. Oh, no, we're not.
Yeah,
but they could have gave us one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that's the way they should have gone.
Because if they made all of them, we complain about how it was too predictable. Like, so don't give us all, but give us one.
Also, yeah, that's one thing we point out. Asshole Ned fucking fired an arrow right at Brenda at the archery range. Like,
and his death is off screen.
Yeah,
which pissed me off. Like, at least let us watch this guy die.
Mm. Yeah.
Make it the most painful. Make it the slowest.
Yeah, at least Ned.
Like, you set him up as this dumb ass the whole time.
Yeah, he should have got like a chainsaw. Something with power tools.
Something.
Wood chipper. I don't know.
Or he should have been one with the axe in the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been nice.
But no.
All right. Or drowned.
I think you're right. They should have had her get dripped on blood, like, you know.
Yeah.
Honestly, that would have made her stupid ass story.
Again, even if it's
Ned drowning, since he faked drowning, would have been a thing.
Well, exactly. Even if it's predictable, like, this is the type of movie that is predictable. Like, it doesn't have to be like, ooh, gotcha, ooh. It's just a bunch of people dying in succession. Mm. Like,
but that is the thing. At this point, this was not predictable yet. They hadn't gone down that this was the first.
Well, it was like stuff like this had happened, but it wasn't like the mainstream yet. Like, it wasn't cliche. So, like, it was.
Yeah, I mean, original. Halloween obviously came out prior and everything, but like you said, this wasn't the cliche. We didn't have that predictability yet.
But would you have really deducted points for it being predictable?
Again, I'm not saying that's how they should have gone. I'm just saying that's
in either case.
You would have.
Yeah,
you would have.
In either case, I'm not deducting points at all from like the death methods and the way they went. I was okay with them.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they were all right for the time and everything. Mm-hmm. And you know, growing pains. You got to learn how to do some things. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So while Kevin Bacon is, just waiting for her to come back from the bathroom, he finally gets some blood dropped on him and he's like, what's that? And before he can do anything about
it, arrowed.
Yeah, there's a hand around his head and an arrow coming through the bed and out his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the special effects don't quite match up as well.
His neck is super gray.
Yeah. I said he had a case of the below the chin jaundice going on. But, you know, again, for the budget and everything, look what I have to work with here.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, as a kid in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, shit.
It worked. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Now with HD and everything, it's a little easier to tell. Mm. But anyway. So meanwhile, she's off in the bathroom. She's, doing her business when
sick dump
probably, or whatever. But she hears a noise. Mm. She goes to check it out. She's like, oh, is that you, Ned or Jack or somebody? And then she just gets an axe in the head.
It's like a good 5 minutes of her.
Yeah. Walking around trying to
the bathroom.
See who's playing with her.
But like I said, I was feeling the suspense.
Yeah, me too. Like, I mean, you know, we pull the edge off it by joking around doing it, but like, I can see how if you're watching this movie in the dark, like, because she opens the first curtain, it's like, no, who's here? No one. The second one, who's here? No one. But you see the shadow behind her, you know, lifting up. Like,
it brought me right back to when I was younger and like hadn't really, I guess, fully harnessed my imagination, like. I remember there were times, not necessarily in a bathroom, but there were times where I would just be alone in the house, totally just psych myself out and be like, you know, staring at stuff like, did that just move? What just happened? Just getting all paranoid.
I mean, in all fairness, your brother could have been playing pranks on you, so.
Yes. Yes, he could have.
He kind of had reason to be nervous.
Stealth wasn't really his forte, though, because that would be like, the door would open and he's just like, Joe, you're getting your ass whooped. Straight towards you.
Yeah. I totally know where you're coming from that. Mm. And previous watches, I felt the suspense more. Yeah, now, because of circumstances and everything, and how many times I've seen this, not as much, but, and this movie never quite got to me as others did. We can get into that when we, if, or when we hit those movies, but, yeah, like, I definitely can see what they're doing there. I appreciate it.
So
she's dead now.
Yeah.
I like the axe effect. I liked when it showed her face with the axe.
It worked.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
So apparently $550,000 is not enough to get a wind effect. So, like, the game of Monopoly is ruined by basically off screen. Like, the door opens and they're like, oh no, the game's over. And suddenly there's shit all over the floor. But you didn't see, like, any of that.
No.
Want to point out, playing this Monopoly game, so Alice has all her clothes on still. What's the dude's name?
Bill.
Bill is down to...
I thought he just lost his shoe at that point.
No, he had his shirt off.
He had his shirt off and his shoes off.
I think he was down to his underwear.
Oh,
all right. Yeah, I think he was. The other girl, what was her name? Brenda. Brenda was in her bikini top, her bra and panties, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm looking at him like, Alice is smart as fuck. She's like... The smartest person in this movie. She kept our clothes the whole movie long. Didn't touch that, that creepy ass Christie dude.
She's a shrewd businessman. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you can tell just how much, because she's just about to lose her shirt when that wind comes in and just fucks everything. I'm like, oh, I guess I don't have to do that anymore.
She was like, oh, the wind blew my arm.
Whoops, there goes the bank. I guess we gotta start again.
Alice is a fucking Monopoly hustler. You know, because they show that point where she buys like one of the properties and the guy's like, no one ever lands there. And then he rolls and lands there. She's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
On newsstands now, Monopoly hustler.
That might be the newest
just
version.
That mustachioed dude just hanging brain.
Did you see him visit Congress?
I did.
At the, yeah. What was it? It was like the banking committee hearing?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's his name? Something Pennybags. It's Uncle Something Pennybags. Is the Monopoly guy?
No, legit. In a committee hearing, whatever, there was a dude in the background dressed like
that Monopoly. Was a girl, actually.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
It was a gray mustache, top hat, monocle. Like, sorry if I misgendered you. I'm sorry.
When security approached her, she handed them get out of jail free cards. And she was like wiping sweat off her brow with fake Monopoly money. That was pretty awesome.
Well played, Miss.
At first I saw a picture, I'm like, that's Photoshop, but that's not pretty. I'm like, oh no, it's not.
That is fantastic.
But this gives the door busting open from the wind, and Brenda's like, oh, my window's open. Let me go check that. But then she goes to the bathroom instead.
You gotta go.
Yeah.
Well, she was brushing her teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I
think she realized she was getting Monopoly hustled. She's like, got to abort.
But she wasn't like, let me put my clothes back on and leave. She's like, I'll put a raincoat on and go outside in the rain with just my brown panties.
The real thing was just like, it's time to close this off.
She's pretty well used to the walk of shame at this point.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
No, I do like, I lost my clothes fair and square, so they're yours now.
Mm.
Just going home like this.
So now she's in the bathroom. That what's her face got killed in, but there's no blood. The killer she cleans up her shit, you know, she keeps it clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, does a great job with it and quick as well.
Yeah,
but,
cut to Steve Christie is off at a diner getting hit on by his waitress.
Why? Why?
Trying to get that tip,
Dame Edna.
Yeah,
his waitress. Edna.
Trying to get that tip. That's what.
Yeah.
She's trying to get that tip. No, I mean, she's definitely trying to get that tip.
No, I don't have a problem with her interaction with him. I want to know why we need to see it. None of this is relevant.
Like I said, there are a few scenes in this movie that are not necessary.
Yeah.
Because they film the movie and then they realized,
it's 20 minutes long.
Yeah. 25 minutes is not going to cut in theaters. Let's add some scenes.
We're like a half hour under what we need to be.
Yeah.
Let's fucking just draw this shit out.
I'll give you a tip back if you give me a mustache ride.
Okay. So
here's an extra blueberry jam.
Yeah, this lady, Miss Big Head. What are we calling her?
Mrs. Really, 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 really Big Head.
Anyway.
What's the lady's name from Monsters, Inc.?
I don't know.
It's Dame Edna.
Yeah. So, regardless, he's going to get on the road again, even though it's raining. We see it, because we're filling time. He gets stuck somewhere on the road.
He can't bother to crash the Jeep. Yeah. So they're just, they show it's already parked.
Yeah, just later we cut back to it. It's on the side of the road. It won't start. Mm-hmm. A cop takes him the rest of the way home because I guess that needs to happen. Mm.
Not the same cop. Whatever.
Well, just follow him to the conclusion here, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah.
He finally gets back to the camp. He sees a light. It's like, oh, what are you doing here this late hour?
This movie, you stay away from the cameraman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You make him chase you like it's an episode of Cops.
Yeah. It would be great if one of them was just like, what are you doing here? Wait, is this POV? No. Yeah. Oh, no. I'm out. What's happening?
I'm about to die or it's a porn. Either way, not really yet. Feeling it. I just ate a bunch of waffles.
Yeah. Either way, you're seeing my backside.
Oh, my God. Wow. Oh, my God.
Wow.
I hope you're proud of yourself.
He's got that Target tattoo.
So, but he just, I'm assuming, stabbed. You don't see it, but you see him.
Yeah.
He goes, oh. Yeah. Like, he's it. Done.
And that's presumably it for him.
But, like, this was legit on cue when I felt like someone should die. He would die. Like, mm-hmm.
Now, this was the only death I think I was kind of disappointed in here. Now is Brenda, where...
Yeah.
Is the other one I had a big problem with.
Yeah.
So, because she's in bed. She's, like, reading a book or whatever. She's in a nice little nightgown. She's ready to go to sleep.
A nice little nightgown.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd use the word nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Or nice. Little.
Yeah. She was wearing some sort of circus tarp, I believe.
Right, I made a comment.
That was a sleeved sleeping bag with a hole cut in the bottom.
Yeah.
I made a comment. Like she went to bed with more clothes on than she wore the entire day.
Yeah. That was more what I was trying to get at. It's not something skimpy or revealing. Yeah. It's, you know.
It was nice.
It's something from like.
That was definitely function over form.
Yeah.
It was
I bet that thing was warm as hell, but.
It's nice for Jesus.
Yes. And then she hears a young voice going, help me, help me. And she goes out to help him. And again, this is where I have a problem with it because.
Well, she wasn't even. Was she in bed or was she writing in her diary? I don't remember what she was doing.
She was in bed at this point.
Oh, yeah.
She might have been writing in a diary, but she was in bed. Whatever she was doing, it doesn't matter. She goes out to help this person, like, totally even forgets, like, her rain slicker or anything like that. And, again, this is where I have a problem, because the whole conceit of this is Mrs. Voorhees is trying to get revenge on all the people that were fucking around instead of trying to help her kid. And this woman is now going out in the middle of the dark in the rain and everything to try and help a child in danger. Like, she should have used this as this should be the final girl.
Now, are we to believe that this is Mrs. Voorhees doing the voice?
Okay. Because she does the voice. They show her doing the voice later on the movie.
Fair enough.
But until this, because if you have never seen the movie before, like, you don't know. You think the killer's a man because you see, like, some manly looking boots and like the hand even looks kind of manly.
Really,
too.
All you know about the killer at this point is he's white because you've seen
and has a ring on. Yeah,
and has a ring. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But so at this point you hear like a little kid's voice or like a high pitched little kid's voice and you're like, this dude has a kid with him? Like you think it's a dude? Like, this dude has a kid with him? Like, what's going on? Like, what the hell?
See, Brenda did it wrong. Like,
she went outside. Yeah.
Well, no. Like, if I hear a person screaming, help me!" Like, I'm trying to sleep. First, I open the door, I yell, fuck you, I'm taking a nap. They keep yelling. Then it's like the scene from My Cousin Vinny, where I just open up the door to the cabin and open fire on nature.
I'm just putting Pandora on that white noise channel and cranking it all the way up. I don't hear you, sorry.
And then once I'm asleep, I don't care what you're screaming, I'm out. Like, I ain't helping you.
Well, you are a bad person. But I will also throw out there, like, you might not want to jump to a conclusion that they have a kid with them because we have now seen that leprechauns can do other voices. And I believe the troll, is it, from Ernest Scared Stupid?
No, I'm just saying from context in this movie.
Well, at this point, there's nothing supernatural.
Really, yeah, at all.
That you know of.
Yeah. Just context in this movie.
Yeah.
That you know of, indeed.
Anyway.
All right, so she goes to the archery range. Yeah, and I'm just waiting for her to get arrowed.
Yep.
All the lights turn on. Yeah, it's pouring rain.
Light turns on. It's like white out because the lights are so bright she can't see. And you think it's perfect. You know, someone behind the lights and just shoot
out of her. She gets off-screened.
Yeah, like, and we just cut to back in the cabin and we hear a scream.
Yep.
At this point, is Alice and Bill?
Yeah, this is when they're like, we should go looking for other people.
Yeah, they're like,
finally, they're like, where is everybody? Like, at one point, I'm watching this, I'm like, no one is concerned to see anyone else for hours.
Like, there's no way Jack's lasting that long.
Like, yeah, like.
Well, I will also argue this. Based on other knowledge, because the movie itself doesn't set this up very well, but based on other knowledge of movies and so on, I believe this is a good-sized camp, so they could have been just, like, totally out there doing their own thing and, like, it'd be, you know, you not think to go looking for them or whatever. Like, if a guy and a girl wanted to go, like, seven cabins down and just do their own thing for the whole night, you probably wouldn't think too much about it if you don't see them.
They left during cooking dinner. And never came back.
Well, there is that. Yeah.
All of them. That's left fair. During.
No, like, one has eaten.
Yeah. That's
they true. Were making burgers. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, we'll go check something real quick. And then never came back for hours.
Yeah. Why did they even leave? Why did anyone leave for that matter? Why did anyone?
It's burger time. You stay till that's done.
Because one light bulb was out.
Yeah.
Is it? Well, that's kind of started it. But like, it. I don't know. They went to the generator and then everybody was just like, well, now we got that. Yeah. Fuck it. We're going to go off to have sex, and Ned's going to go off to cry and jerk it.
It's the 70s. There's only five things you can do.
All right. Fair enough. All right. So
also, like, at this point, like, out in the woods, there wasn't Jason to get you yet. There was, like, what's going to get you out here?
Yeah.
Bears.
Damn, makes commies. You scary.
No, but in the 70s, you just punched a
communist
bear.
Communist bears. Leftover commies. Lost leftover commies.
The Red Scare.
Red bears.
Well,
red
bears, I guess because it was the Cold War pretty much at this point, right? Yep. So, yeah.
Anyway.
We'll see, danger, high voltage.
When we
danger,
touch.
Danger, danger.
When we high kiss. Voltage.
The generator goes out.
Bill goes to check on it. They check out a couple things. They try to call for help, but the phone line's been cut.
Bill makes the classic movie blunder. He's like, all right, you go to sleep. I'll fix the generator.
Yep.
No, at this point, buddy system.
Yep.
Everyone's together.
Like they're actually concerned about what's going on. Like,
right. Now you weapon up.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's nothing, just in case.
Yeah.
You weapon up.
In case Ned's being a dick, you hit him with a bat. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Right. You hit him right in his dick.
Honestly, especially when there are firearms present in the camp, like, going to get one of those.
Ammo was locked.
None of them could get there.
I don't care. I'm breaking that lock.
Oh, true, true.
That's true.
When both of us are going there, and we're getting the guns.
Yeah, if she had gone prior to it being an emergency, probably would have been a lot easier getting guns that long.
Yeah.
Failure to plan is a plan to fail, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But plus, I don't even remember how she loses the bat, but like, don't lose that bat. Mm-hmm. Hold on to that bat. Anyway, Bill goes off on his own. What do you know? He's dead. She wakes up. She's finally like, shit, it's like 3 a.m. or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know where anyone is. I haven't eaten all day. I don't know what's going on.
Every time a woman goes to pee in this movie, she dies.
Yeah. I'm going to make some coffee.
Yeah. I have to go pee.
Well, as someone watching the movie, I'm like, all right, now it's game time because she's the only one left.
Yep.
They have to defeat the bad guy and, like, you know, have a resolution or whatever. So this is it. It's game time now. Like,
go fix the generator.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, just she goes to fix the generator here, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just like, oh, the door's open. I don't know what's going on here. She tries to close the door, and what do you know? There's Bill stuck to this door with a bunch of arrows.
Arrows.
Like through his head, through his dick, through his stomach.
Like legit through his dick. Like.
Yep.
Well, that's where all the badness happens.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is whoever's doing this killing, which we know Miss Voorhees at the end, is strong as fuck.
Yep.
Well, she's got the crazy strength.
I guess. Because, like, Alice is freaking out now. She runs back to the room, ties the door.
We watch her intelligence just drain out of her because she finds a rope. She throws it around one of the beams in the ceiling, ties it to the door so the door can't open. Like, okay, that's smart. And then she's just like, I don't know. Put an almond.
Just in case.
She might have. She put everything else there.
Actually, if that went on for another minute or two, it would have
She's putting everything.
That would keep me away.
Yeah. I think she threw an almond at this before he's later on in the movie.
Yes, she did. But, like she does like a straight up Big Lebowski move where she puts the chair against the door that opens outward.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we just watched that intelligence just go whoop right out the door.
I let it slide because at this point she is in full panic mode.
She's not thinking.
Dump everything you can.
I let this slide, but everything that
follows. We'd have real logic, Rob. Gosh.
And I mean, at the by the time she was done, she had like a whole barricade in front of the door. So even if it opened out, like you still couldn't get through. It was just a pile of chairs. It looked like a friggin' like garage sale.
My thing is, she did this before she even checked the whole room out.
Oh yeah, she was like, not was wise in her decision making. But
yeah. And she's like, oh yeah, I do. I should check the rest of the house.
And you should put the cap on the coffee properly.
Yeah,
that was bugging us.
Shit's gonna go bad.
Yeah. Oh. So again, most of my problems as a movie seem to be related to Brenda, because like, how did she throw Brenda's corpse through the window? Oh.
Voorhees is strong as fuck. She threw her through the window.
Yep. She threw her through the window, which causes Alice to freak out. She tries... I'm jumping ahead a little bit. She's about to go running out to find the head counselor guy. What's his name?
Christy.
Steve Christy.
Is hanging from, like, a tree?
He's hanging from the rafters.
Yeah, from the rafters. He was up...
hanging from the rafters.
Yeah, how the fuck did she get him up there?
Again, strong as fuck.
Yeah.
You get develop some muscles when you're carrying a grudge.
Yeah,
I guess. She's just spent every day since just working out in the gym.
At least it's not that chick from Roseanne just out of nowhere.
Right. Now, at this point, Alice has basically just fallen apart. She can't really even cross the room once Brenda's corpse.
No.
How did Brenda die, by the way? She's just...
ropes.
She's got some blood.
Like,
I think she was made to play the LJN version of Friday the 13th.
Could
a few
be.
Times and just bled out of all of her orifices.
Yeah, pretty much.
Man, that game sucked.
Yeah, it did kind of look like she just couldn't take it anymore and her face just started to peel apart. Alice goes running out when Brenda comes through the window and she thinks it's her boss, but it turns out it's Mrs. Voorhees. And she's like, oh, don't worry, I'll help you out. And like, what's going on? You gonna show me? And she's, yeah, everybody's dead, and she's like, oh, well, this is why the camp shouldn't have opened, because, like...
Camp should never have opened. They're just... I remember when it happened. I was here. Mm-hmm. I used to work here. I was a cook.
Mm-hmm. And a young boy named Jason drowned in the lake. He wasn't a very good swimmer.
They were fornicating. They weren't paying attention.
Yep.
I mean,
They were fucking around, and he ended up drowning in the lake. And so she's now really pissed about it and started just killing everybody.
Now, you see, at this point, she's saying the stuff, and now she's having flashbacks of imagining a boy drowning in a lake.
Yeah.
Boy?
A creature drowning in a lake.
Well, it's supposed to be a boy.
Yeah.
He does look a little
sloth-esque.
His head,
you should keep that handy.
His head looks like one of the domes in Mars Attacks.
Yeah.
Like,
basically.
I'm sorry,
it is. I'm not sure what was supposed to be going on here. Maybe he had cancer.
I don't know. And from my mind, I'm like, it was unnecessary. They could have just had a kid. Like, there's no need to give up a prosthetic head. None of that stuff. Like,
yeah, at this point, just been a kid. I mean, I get it later, but at this point, he's just a kid.
Yeah, it's fine.
Looks like Mac and me.
Yeah, for real. Like.
we see her, like, she totally devolves. Like, pretty early on, even, she's just, you know, I'm not afraid.
But while she's giving her little monologue, at one point, I think she starts using the kid's voice while talking to her.
Kill them, mommy. I'm going to, Jason. Mm-hmm. Kill them. Like, oh, okay.
And Alice is like, what the fuck?
Put this, I'm out. This is when she goes running out, finds a guy in the rafters.
She gets
in the Jeep, but that's when she finds... I think it's...
That's Annie.
Annie's riding shotgun.
Yeah, I guess she went back to grab her or something. Yeah. Whatever.
She's been struck by a smooth criminal.
Yeah. She's not okay.
No. She is not okay.
Yeah, and then fucking Steve falls from the rafters.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
We're just, like, this point, she's just like, oh, here's all the people that died. I guess everybody's dead. What am I going to do?
I have to say, though, like, the extreme close-up of, like, her mouth when she's doing the Jason voice and That's a good creepy shot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She does a good job with creepy. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Do you tell she smoked? She has like the little like yellow ring around her teeth. but these scenes, my only problem with these scenes is when Annie's running away, it lasts a little bit too long. Because like...
What do you mean, Alice?
Alice is running away scenes. That like she runs off, like just like a leprechaun. Like, yeah. Wait, she's just running. She's just running and she's... Mm-hmm. Just running, screaming, just running.
Again, we need to pad some time.
Yeah. You could have cut that like 5 seconds earlier.
Yep. Oh, yeah. But like she runs off to somewhere where the gun is. I'm not even sure.
The main rec room.
Yeah, your gun house.
It's the 70s. It's the main rec room.
Firearms. I think it's the office.
Yeah.
I believe because that's where they, I think that's where they broke in earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But the gun's there, but all the ammo's locked up. So when Mrs. Voorhees comes in, she's like, they get into a little tussle. She gets the gun away from her. Then she just starts throwing things at her pathetically.
I think one of them was like an almond.
They got smaller and smaller. Yeah.
The first one, I think, was just like a spool of yarn. Yeah. And then like,
because the first one caused Mrs. Voorhees to flinch. Then she just lost all of her
stuff. The first one was the rifle that she threw
that
caused Mrs. Voorhees to go, yeah,
that's right. But then it was the yarn. Then I think it was like a spoon, and then it was just like a handful of almonds.
Stupid. She's pulling stuff out of her pocket.
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing?
Just throwing change at her.
And now it's time for Mrs. Voorhees to just bitch slap the fuck out of her.
Shit out of her.
Her pimp hand is strong.
Yeah,
like she was like she's been
lifting Steve's corpse all night.
Yeah.
Just throws a bean slap.
This is a worker's hand.
I'll say, though, Alice recovers pretty nice, though, because she gets another gun and fucking, like, butt stroke to the cunt, butt stroke to the head. Like, two-hit combo.
Put it in her vagina. She does. Like.
Yeah. Now,
it's a clan slam.
I mean, I will.
Wow.
I will.
The views and opinions.
I will fault her points though for not finishing the job.
Right, I kept saying she's down. Fucking hit her again.
Yeah, because at that point when I'm freaking out, like Mercy's out the window,
and she's admitted to the shit she's done.
Yeah,
like you know she did it. Mm. Fucking knock her the fuck out for real. Like,
yeah,
well, yeah, I would argue maybe she just doesn't have it in her to kill this old woman, but I'm not saying that's the way to go. Yeah.
So. I want to tap back to the beginning of the movie when I was like, remind me to I remember now. Now we know it's Mrs. Voorhees, right? Yep. We know it. Looking at her, she's like in her 50s, maybe, right? Like she's older than all them, but not really old, but she's older than all them, right? This is 40 years after the she killed those kids.
20.
Oh, 20 years. All right, so she was like the same age as them. You know what I mean?
Maybe
a little older.
Maybe a little bit older, yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe she got pregnant when she was young? I don't know.
Well, I mean, so all right.
Because she would have been in her 20s when she kills kids, like
yeah.
So
would have been in the 30s, but yeah, close enough.
Okay, all right. We'll say if she's in her 30s, like,
and maybe Jason's supposed to be younger. Like maybe he wasn't that old.
Let's say 10.
Well, yeah, I think Jason definitely was supposed to be younger because it was the counselors 50s.
They were
19,
pumping him out young back then.
If the counselors are 19, then the campers would have been younger.
Yeah.
Because so, I feel like when she killed those people. Like she definitely wasn't any like some superior specimen to be able to like kill these people like without them having any chance of fighting back, like, and none of them fought back. I don't get it. Like why wouldn't you, like,
well, most of them I think didn't really suspect, because like the two counselors in the beginning of the movie, it's obvious they recognized her, but they didn't really like the guy gets taken out with basically a cheap shot, and then the girl I guess just freaked out and didn't defend herself well. I don't know.
I'm like, if one of y'all motherfuckers came at me, like, I'm like, I'm gonna fight you. Like, I'm gonna fight you. Like, oh no, it's, oh shit, Joe's gonna stay. Oh, fuck you, Joe.
Wow. Well, like, also, you got like different. 6 inches and like 100 pounds on me. I'm not gonna fuck with you.
That's fair.
Not 100 pounds, but you got a good amount of size on me.
That's probably like 100 pounds. Like,
Ryan, I think it's that 6 inches he's worried about.
A little more than that.
Needless to say, I don't want to mess with it.
the dick slap.
We'll kill that snake if we have to. No, but yeah, it does seem to be more of a case of like, the guys are unexpecting, you know, like, oh, hey, what's going on? Like, calm down. You seem pissed off, but, and then stab in the neck before they know what's happening. And the ladies, again, just, I don't know, they don't think to fight. I don't know. I can't speak.
And then, because it only gets worse as she gets older. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, now she's in her 50s or whatever, because she doesn't look like any older than that. I think.
But, Brian, she is strong as fuck.
Like, I'm just saying, like, if I saw this lady holding a knife coming at me, like, I wouldn't think she has crazy strength, first off. Oh, so yeah. My response would be, like...
To try.
And no one tries. Not one person tries. Well,
presumably, I think most of the people that she actually knifes, we can't really see how the weapon's drawn, but I think it's basically sneak attacks. Because she has a hip holster, and she probably just really quickly pulled it out and stabbed them before they realized what's going on. I don't think she, like, lurked up to him with the knife when they were looking right at her.
Again...
It's hard because the camera was yeah. The POV cam was confusing. Yeah.
This is also where, if you really want to get into the weird arguments with all this shit, later movies would imply that at some point she started dealing with the dark arts.
Yeah, but like I'm talking about this movie.
Yeah.
And you're talking about later movies. I'm talking about this movie. Yeah, I'm going to evidence that I have in front of me right now.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, again, as to why no one tried, I don't
know. Yeah, right. But anyway, sorry. That was just me. It was
because I'm with you. Like, I would have taken a swing, because why not? But
she took out, like, the two of the three guys first, and the guy that she left was the least physically intimidating of all of them. And
to be fair, there is obviously a supernatural element in this movie, too, because Jason...
You're just not aware of it at this point.
Like...
They don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, but that's the kicker at the end.
Yeah.
So, like, if you can go, oh, maybe there was...
Also, that's, in this movie, that's a dream.
Yeah, like...
Sort of
a dream. Yeah. But there's a mystery to it.
I think Rob's point is, like, you know...
I'm not excusing it. Please don't.
Again, spoiler alert for old movies, but I think the point is, like a Sixth Sense scenario, if you go back and rewatch it, it makes more sense if you include that element.
Nah.
No? Okay. Nah. Whatever the point is.
This is just a strong old lady killing everybody.
Yeah.
So whatever, however she's doing it, maybe
she's got that Rosie the Riveter strength.
Yeah, maybe she's part chimp. I don't know.
Yeah, she's part chimp. We'll go with that.
Anyway.
She's got chimp.
That would explain her son.
But we're at the end. Oh.
Yeah.
But we're at... That actually wasn't that bad. Actually wasn't that bad.
I just don't think I'm going to get a better chance. I forgot the ending.
Now, yeah, what she hides in the kitchen. I'm like, why did you go back to the kitchen?
Yeah.
Like, that, of all the places, like, you're going to double back to the place of the guns?
Why'd you not bring a weapon with you?
Yeah.
You pass, like, brooms and brooms, shovels and, like...
They're fighting shovel with, because, like, wrestling match rules? Because
that's where she belongs.
Yeah.
See, that's when you throw something at them. That's where you throw something at him.
No, I mean, the joke, I set that up for. Anyway, so.
It's like a bear just naturally retreating back to its den.
Watch out for that bear trap.
Surprise, everyone. Guess which one of us is married. Anyway.
So.
One and a half times.
They're fighting.
All right. Joke continue.
If you can't. I don't even want to kill myself right now.
I'm gonna eat a cupcake for that.
So, they're fighting by, like, wrestling match rules as far as weapons go, because, like, they don't seem to do the damage that they would imply, and then after they're used once, they're discarded.
You know what?
What's that?
Alice goes through a table.
Yes, she does.
You want me onto something, Joe?
Yeah.
Well, this again goes back to my point of then why didn't she hit her with a chair?
So, yeah, she hides in the kitchen, she machetes through the door, and then Alice just fucks her up with a skillet. Again, at this point, now that's twice.
Yeah.
It's like, fucking pound her head in with the skillet.
Visibly bleeding from the head at this point.
Well, maybe she thought she was dead. I don't know.
Probably.
No, bullshit. Fuck that. And this is where I was calling crap on it. Because, like, the first time, like, you don't want to kill an old lady. Mm. You think maybe you can get the police or whatever. Fine. But, like, shit's gotten real. She keeps coming after you. It's a problem. She just attacked you with a machete. You knocked her out. She dropped the machete. I'm cutting your hands off. That's just happening. Like, I'm not going to risk your getting back up and grabbing that machete again. That's how it goes. I'm sorry.
I might just fuck up one of your feet really bad and run.
Maybe, but... Yeah. Well, yeah.
Either way.
Worst case scenario, I'm trying to...
Yeah, you're getting mutilated.
Yeah, I'm going for that artery on your leg, yeah. So you're going to be dead in a couple minutes. Oh, God. Like, so... Hey, whatever, you know?
So now we get to the beach.
Yep.
So, yeah, now we're at the beach. She's just like, well, I knocked an old lady out. Everybody's dead. So let's just have a sit and look out into the lake.
Let me skip some rocks.
What else is she going to do?
Just going to sit here and sing Rainbow Connection or some shit. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But, yeah, she does get to see the reflection of Ms. Voorhees coming up behind her. We have, like, sad fight.
It's a tussle. It's
sad fight.
It's a tussle.
Tussle, good word.
It's meant to be like Mortal Kombat, but it's a tussle.
But yeah, again, this is more like we're fighting over that last toy in a Christmas sale. Yeah. Like,
it's like the last minute and a half of the They Live fight when they're just both exhausted. Oh, yeah.
They're both gassed. Yeah.
And you're just watching it like, what the hell?
I'm just saying, like, I'm pretty sure Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad had a more knockdown fight than these two when they're actually fighting for their lives.
For a second, I'm like, what the fuck movie were they? Oh, yeah. That's right. Like, oh, yeah. All
right. So
Christmas is coming.
But then ultimately, Alice gets some separation from her, grabs the machete.
Yeah. And then just, gets herself ready.
Powers up.
Yeah, whatever you want to call that. Takes the swing in slow-mo and right through the neck.
Just beheads Tom Savini. that was him in the sweater get-up. Yeah. Like, just totally man hands.
Yeah, grasping. Where'd my head go?
Yeah. Anyways, because the hands are just like, oh, where's my head?
Give it a touchdown.
Yeah.
Blood squirting off the top of the neck.
Like, because the head was basically just held on by toothpicks and you can see them. So, like, she just whacks it and it falls off. Mm-hmm. It's not really, she cut it off. However, at the time, that's pretty damn awesome. Yeah. Blood shooting everywhere. You're looking at a stump for a while.
A while.
Longer than they should have lingered on that effect.
Yeah. They at least blurred it a little.
Yeah. And the hands kept opening and closing like, wah!
Yeah.
This can't be happening. Yeah. Fun side note, Tom Savini also shot the arrow that went in the thing in front of that girl. Apparently he's a good archer.
Mm-hmm.
Or
he just wanted to kill her. I'll give you a blood effect.
But now she is dead, so what's a girl to do? I know, get in a canoe and push it out into the lake. Mm-hmm. I guess.
So strange. She's fucking, like, her brains are gone now. Like, I'm spent. She's had it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's just in crazy mode and she's like, she's going to get up from that. She can't get me if I'm in the middle of the lake.
Yeah, I do kind of feel like Rob made a comment about, like, she's really tired and that's the only place she feels safe enough to sleep.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. But the police come in the morning for some reason. I can't quite determine. But whatever, they're there. And she sees them. The music's swelling. She feels safe. Everything's good when
freaking March of Dimes just jumps out of the
water. Wow. More Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, it's like, Toxy time.
Yeah.
One of the most famous jump scares in all of movie-dom.
This scene is pretty famous.
And I will point out, though, because I was watching this alone, I knew this was coming. I knew the moment he was jumping out of the water, still scared me. Like, the music and everything, like, it's as cheesy as it looks, it's effective.
It works, yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta say, because of the end of Alien,
mm-hmm.
this didn't really do anything for me, mm-hmm. because I find that, like, way more, I guess, frightening.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was still interestingly done, well done.
Which one are you talking about specifically?
The end of Alien? Yeah. When you think it's over,
okay,
and then suddenly it's not.
I was gonna say, mm-hmm. the actual ending's not that big a thing, but
no, not the.
Mm-hmm.
I gotcha.
Not the weird here.
Yeah, well, yeah, Alien.
Go chill in my super soaker for a while.
There's a big difference between these two movies.
Oh right? Yeah, for sure, yeah. For sure.
In every respect.
I'm just saying, it kind of, like, I think it kind of spoiled that whole jump scare.
That's fair.
Idea.
See, for me, like, a good one will still get me. A good jump scare is a good jump scare.
Well, you also watched it alone in the dark. Yeah. Like, I was here with these guys kind of joking about the whole thing the whole time. So
yeah, I believe at that point you were standing up, twitching about, and ready to go use the bathroom. So.
Yes, which I am now. As
well. All that water made me have to pee, you know.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, we see she actually wakes up in a hospital. Alice does. She's told that a couple officers had to pull her out of the lake. And she's like, oh, is everybody dead? Even that little boy? And they're like, what little boy? And she's like, oh, that means he's still out there. There's going to be sequels. And that's where we finally get an end. That's Friday the 13th from 1980.
You see the lake and the water is stirring like something's about to come out.
Right.
But it doesn't.
Never does.
It never does.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. So on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 59%.
Well, it's not Rotten Pumpkins this week.
I'm sorry.
He just forgot.
Yeah. Audience gave this a score of 61%. What? That's what the critics thought of this movie. What about you and your thoughts on this, Rob?
I mean, this is not my kind of movie. I don't really like the horror genre in general. So it's not for me, but I mean, if you like horror movies, you've probably already seen this. Yeah, go ahead and watch it. I don't care. Whatever. It's not... I don't have enough information on the genre to say it's a bad version of that, I guess.
Okay.
It's fine. I'll recommend it, sure.
Okay. Joe.
So this is kind of the opposite of how we usually recommend movies, where we say, like, yeah, you should see it in a group with your friends. But I feel you definitely need to watch this one alone in the dark. And I was feeling it. I had a good time. I was picking up what the producers were putting down. Well, the effects are obviously limited, and there's some stuff that, you know, it's kind of become cliche now. Like, this is the reason why it's cliche here, this and Halloween. So I thoroughly enjoyed myself. And I, even though I knew the shit that was going to happen, I was still like, I was feeling scared, but not like, you know, not the terror I felt when I was a kid seeing this stuff. But I was like, I was getting the exact thrill, like to get the enjoyment, like the adrenaline going. So yeah, I highly recommend it.
Brian.
Suspenseful as fuck.
Watch this movie. I enjoyed it. Even though we watched it as a group, whatever. I can totally see like what Joe's talking about. And I would watch this, you know, by myself or, you know, with someone who really is scared by these kind of movies. Because I'm kinda like Rob, like these movies don't really do it for me. Mainly because my brain tries to work out what's gonna happen before it happens, and at some point my brain comes up with what's gonna happen before it happens, and I'm like, oh, see, yeah, that's what it is. So when I watch it with someone who's really into the stuff, it helps me stop doing that. So I actually get in the moment and enjoy these kind of movies. So I would definitely recommend watching this because it's still a good movie. Like it's all the everything that I wanted to happen happened. Except for the off-screen stuff, but then I had to put it in context, like budget-wise, as why it shouldn't happen off-screen. Like, you know, you kind of horror movies are cheap for a reason. Like there's so many of them because they're so cheap to make. Because you need a camera, some corn starch, some corn syrup, and some red dye. Like you got a movie. Like, but no,
second in cheapness only to pornos.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the movie. Like, yeah, I'd recommend it.
All right. I'm also gonna recommend this. I'm probably the closest to a horror fan here. I'm not always a huge fan, because my tastes tend to be more the, you know, your Evil Deads and kind of gremlin-y stuff, where it's a bit more lighthearted. And the majority of horror that I do enjoy is probably because I'm enjoying it for all the wrong reasons, when it's really bad, like The Leprechaun or something to that effect. I mean, The Leprechaun's not the best example, but anyway... yeah, this one, I think it holds up. It's well enough. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's very primitive, but, like, you can see why it became the thing that it became.
It's the ancestor horror evolved from.
Yes, exactly. This is, you know, this or one is of them. The prehistoric one. Yeah, this is, it's a classic for a reason, so... yeah, I definitely recommend this. Which I'm kind of surprised. That means there's recommendations all around. And Joe shat himself. All right.
That's not new, though.
So. No.
That's a stamp of approval.
What do we have up next for our October, Brian?
I apologize to everyone listening if your eardrums are now bleeding.
Sorry about that.
No, he's not. next up in our October October is Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah, we're gonna keep it with the first Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, so the first Friday the 13th, first Nightmare on Elm Street, get to see Freddy in all his glory.
Yeah, we do.
Whatever that is.
From Kevin Bacon right to Johnny Depp.
Oh yeah, oh, like I totally forgot. Like it's
here they got their starts.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. So yeah, so D28 keep charging up.
Yeah.
Keep charging up.
What else we got for the people, Rob?
Well, guys, that is it for this week's episode. We want to thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe via iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. We have a new episode every week. Please help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes and liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter. It'll really help us out. You can find us there at 4AM Podcast. If you'd like to contact us by email, you can reach us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. And that's it. Just keep listening for our Real Monsters Tober.
Wow, you're really sold out there. All right. So, yeah, we will see you all next week with A Nightmare on Elm Street. Till then.
Deuces.
Later.
Adios.
Good night.